Well, welcome back. It's so good to have you with us this morning, whether you're watching from our New Life community or from somewhere else in the world. We're so thankful you joined us. Today, we're going to continue in our series called Great Expectations. And in this series, we've been looking at the Israelites and how they spent years in captivity and they were looking forward to this freedom that had been promised to them. And after they're released from Egypt and they cross the Red Sea, they find themselves in the wilderness. And in this place, God is teaching them how to do relationship with Him and how to do relationship with each other in a new way outside of captivity. And as we watch this unfold, we see in that season in the wilderness that there's all kinds of places where their steps falter and they get confused about who God is, and they engage in idolatry and all kinds of other things like that. And so we're looking at this because we too are in a season of great expectation, especially this week as we've seen some of the restrictions lift. We are going, yeah, things are just going to be a whole lot easier moving forward. And yet in this season, God is teaching us something new about our relationship with Him and about our relationship with each other. And we are looking forward to these greater freedoms as they come gradually, yet we could also make some of the same mistakes as the Israelites. And so we're digging into this theme. And 2 weeks ago, we looked at grumbling and complaining, and we asked God where we can turn places of discontentment in our lives into places of celebration. Last week, we looked at idolatry and how that's a divided loyalty between God and something else in our lives. And specifically, we looked at busyness and we looked at making excuses. And we asked God, is there an area in my life where I'm putting my schedule in front of my relationship with You? And we also had the opportunity to ask this past week in prayer, is there an area of growth that I have been avoiding by making excuses? Well, today we're going to look at another theme, and I do hope this theme today will encourage you greatly. One of the things Ed and I enjoyed doing when we lived in the Lower Mainland is we discovered what's called the VIP cinema. And so this was a movie theater they had set up quite recently when we were living there, and we decided for one of our anniversaries to give it a try. And so what happens is you walk into the regular movie theater, but instead of going to the usual lineup, you went another direction into the VIP cinema. It was all set up very exclusive. It was a licensed area, so there were no children in that area. And you got to go into your movie and sit down in a cushy seat, which wasn't the norm then. So these wonderful reclining seats with a table at each one. And you would wait there, and they would come take your order for the movie. And you could choose popcorn and snacks, but you could also choose like an entree or something like that. They also had a lounge set up where before the movie, you could go in and enjoy a meal there while you were waiting for your movie to begin. So it was all very posh, and you really felt pampered when you went in there. And, you know, I have to say, I kind of enjoy that. I think of box office seats. We had the opportunity to experience one of those one time where you're watching the hockey game from a box seat and the food is just being brought to you. And, oh, you need another soda? Here you go. Here's another one for you. What kind would you like? Do you need more sauce with your chicken wings? Just a fantastic thing. Or I think of WestJet Plus. If you've ever ridden that, I know it's for some of you who fly business class, this maybe not such a big deal, but you know, it's like they just gave me a moist towelette for my hands when I arrived on the plane. The point of all that is that we all like to be cared for. At some level, we love to know that somebody cares for our needs and that somebody is paying special attention to those things. And we're going to look today at Exodus chapter 16. So we're going backwards a little in our story of the Exodus from where we were last week. And Exodus 16 picks up just after they've been crossed the Red Sea. They've had this moment of celebration for God's goodness. Then they complain about their thirst, which was what we talked about 2 weeks ago. This week we're picking it up in Exodus 16, verse 1 and 2. It says, then the whole community, oh, I can switch my slides there for you. Then you can see where we're at. See, that's the VIP cinema. Pretty awesome, hey? All right. Then the whole community of Israel set out from Elim and journeyed into the wilderness of Sin between Elim and Mount Sinai. They arrived there on the 15th day of the second month, 1 month after leaving the land of Egypt. There too, the whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron. "If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt," they moaned. "There we sat around pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted. But now you have brought us into the wilderness to starve us all to death." So here's the thing about this passage that I hadn't noticed before. And Ed and I were talking about this last night, and he said he hadn't noticed that either, is that they're moaning about being hungry, but they actually had food with them. So if we look back, they actually left Egypt with herds and flocks and unleavened bread and that kind of thing. So before I just kind of went, okay, they were hungry, they needed food to eat, they complained to God. And yet it was like, wait a minute, they must have had food with them, because with God, who gave them a pillar of fire to guide them, a pillar of cloud, who let them leave with gold and riches from Egypt, who made sure that they had food prepared, who made sure that their clothes didn't wear out, would he actually send them without enough food to eat on this journey? And I don't believe so. And furthermore, the Lord would not have been upset with their complaining had they not had any food. I don't believe God would do that. I believe he cares for us in such a way, if they were genuinely hungry and had nothing to eat and complained, that he wouldn't be angry or upset with them. But it's interesting, because scholars, there's nowhere in scripture where it really indicates why they were so hungry. Perhaps the animals they took out with them were considered sacred and they didn't feel the freedom to eat them. Perhaps they ate them very quickly. There's all kinds of debate on why they may have been hungry. But I wonder if, and this is just the scripture that highlights, it says, "A mixed multitude went up with them also out of Egypt, and flocks and herds, and a great deal of livestock, and they baked unleavened cakes of dough which they had brought out of Egypt." Now they'd been out between 45 and 75 days, so theoretically some things could have run out. But I also wonder if it wasn't more like a bored teenager looking into your fridge saying there's nothing to eat after you've just gone to buy groceries. I'm not so certain, and scripture doesn't clarify. But the point is this: they're moaning about the food, and they're saying, "There we sat around in Egypt with pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted. But now you have brought us into this wilderness to starve us all to death." Yet in Exodus 6:9, it says, "So Moses told the people of Israel what the Lord had said." This was in reference to their freedom, but they refused to listen anymore. They had become too discouraged by the brutality of their slavery. So they're remembering pots filled with meat and all the bread they wanted and forgetting the brutality of their slavery. And here in this passage, we see that their perspective had become skewed and memory was short. Well, we're going to pick it up in Exodus 16, verse 4 and 5. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. Each day the people can go out and pick up as much food as they need for that day. I will test them in this to see whether or not they follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they will gather food, and when they prepare it, there will be twice as much as usual.'" And verse 11 and 12 says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'I've heard the Israelites' complaint. Now tell them, in the evening you will have meat to eat, and in the morning you will have all the bread you want.'" So the two things they had said: in Egypt we had all the meat, pots filled with meat, and all the bread we could want. So God is giving them specifically what they asked for. "Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." Now, just another interesting thought for consideration: this provision from the Lord of manna and quail actually lasted 40 years. But in that 40 years, we do see the sacrificial system outlined, where they would bring grain offerings to the Lord, animal offerings. So even during that time, it was evident there was some kind of food and nourishment from elsewhere, and yet God continued to provide the manna and the quail. God had everything lined up to take care of the Israelites. He was going to be enough for them. Manna every morning, quail every evening. They just needed to follow his instructions and they would not go hungry. Well, welcome back to the life of the Israelites, one we can relate to, I know. Exodus 16, 19 to 21 says, And then Moses said, let no one leave any of it till morning. Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses, but some of them left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was very angry with them. So they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need, and when the sun became hot, it melted. So this instruction, for some reason, they've been provided all of this food from the Lord. They've already had him provide water. They've already had him lead them through the Red Sea. They thought they needed to keep some of it for morning. For some reason, they weren't confident that the next morning there would still be food available for them and that God would take care of their needs. The Israelites, once again, we said when they left Egypt, they expected steak dinner. And in this scenario, they missed the miraculous way that God had chosen to care for them. God knew exactly what they needed. There was no need for them to store food. There was no need to carry it with them. There was no question of food security because they were in the hands of the Lord. God was proving that he would take care of them day by day. Like I said before, scripture even says in the 40 years of wandering, their clothing and their shoes did not wear out. Now, that is not the case, as we know, nowadays. Well, we're going to look for a moment at that word care. The word care means to show concern or interest, to attach value to provide what is necessary for the overall protection of someone, and to pay serious attention to another. God's response to the needs of the Israelites was care. He was enough. He showed concern and interest for them. He attached value to them. These were his people. This was the nation he had called out. He provided what was necessary for their overall protection, and he paid serious attention to them. The Israelites had everything that they needed when they left Egypt for this new life of freedom. God was with them. He was guiding them. He was protecting them. He was fighting for them. They didn't need a tour guide. They didn't need a bodyguard. They didn't need a food truck. They didn't need a Starbucks. He was enough to cover their every need. Now, in this season, I have no idea what the future holds for each one of you. You may find things on the other side of this much different than you expected. You may find the hours at your place of employment have changed. You may find your financial situation has changed. Maybe your health situation has changed. Maybe your ability to gather with others freely has changed because of your own health and needs. Maybe the impact of this country's financial situation is going to hit us significantly in ways we can't be aware of yet. And you may be tempted to stretch what God has given you for today into another day, no longer stopping to consult with the Lord each day, to look to him and find your strength for what's ahead. Instead, trying to figure out how to do all of this on your own and how to solve these problems and address these concerns and possible challenges, we might panic. And instead of waiting on the Lord, we may take care of our own needs without God's help. And what I want to remind you today, church, is that God is taking care of you. His mercies, it says in Scripture, are new every morning, every single morning, and great is his faithfulness. He does not let go of his promises towards us. Each day, new mercies are available to us. And I want to highlight this slide again. For you, God shows concern and interest. God attaches value to you. God provides what is necessary for your protection. God pays serious attention to you. But what do we do when this promise of his care seems distant? Well, we lean into Scripture. I love this one in Psalm 121, verse 3 and 4. It says, "He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. God is not sleeping. He is not distracted. He is not distant from us, not now, and he won't be in the future. I think of in a hospital, you have an intensive care unit. And in that unit, there's constant care and there's constant monitoring. There's no random rounds or we'll check in on you when we have a moment or you just press that buzzer when you need something. God's care is constant for us. He is consistently monitoring us. He is right there at our bedside, so to speak. He has everything necessary to help us in difficult times. We are under God's intensive care at all times. He is not overwhelmed. He's not underfunded to meet us at our point of need. Scripture calls him El Roi, the God who sees, and he gives us great and precious promises of his care for us. Here's some of those things that God has promised to us. John 6:68, but Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. In times of confusion or discouragement, his words of life are there for us in Scripture. His word is at our fingertips. Whenever we need encouragement, whenever we need to be reminded of his promises, whenever we need access to those new mercies for the day, it's there in Scripture. There is nowhere else we can go for that, church. We're seeing that as so many things have become unstable in our world, that it's to the Lord we need to go at our point of need and to his word. Our theme verse for this year, John 10:10. A thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come so that they, or you, might have life and have it in abundance. What does this look like? This looks like us, and I know this is a bit cliche, but this looks like us thriving, not simply surviving. We can still serve. We can still give. We can still be in fellowship. We can still be growing in the Lord. We can experience a life that is abundant even now and into the future. And I want to encourage you, don't you dare let the enemy steal from you what God has gifted you with in this season. Do not let him rob you and say that there's nothing you can do right now than stay at home. You have a place to pray for and minister to one another. And as God cares for you, you can extend that care elsewhere. Abundant life. Resist the enemy in this season and live that life abundantly that God has promised to us. And lastly, this scripture came across my Bible reading this week, and I loved how the Message translated it. It says, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide open, spacious life. We didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives, live openly and expansively. Everything the Lord has called you to do still exists and will in the future. Those things are based in our identity in the Lord, not on our doing, as we've talked about before, but on our being. All the hopes and dreams he's placed in your hearts for the future, they still exist. God has not forgotten them. He's not dropped them off the table and go, well, COVID's here. I didn't know. They all still exist. God's hopes and dreams for you, they still exist. God planted those in your heart. Scripture says, as you delight in him, he will give you the desires of your heart. And those desires were planted there by the Lord as we walk in relationship with him. He is enough. He will take care of you. He will not let those promises, those dreams, that calling of yours fall to the ground. Everything is still possible because we serve a God who delights in making the impossible possible. He never stops working. He fulfills his promises to us. He is caring for you, and he will keep on caring for you. There will always be what you need for tomorrow. He will be enough. Well, I want to read one more scripture to you from Exodus 16:32. Then Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded. Fill a 2-quart container with manna to preserve it for your descendants. Then later generations will be able to see the food I gave you in the wilderness when I set you free from Egypt. They saved evidence of God's care for future generations. Now, prior to my time in Cranbrook, I had the opportunity to engage in preteen ministry, and we called that J12. And we had what we called action tags that reminded us of how to live out our relationship with the Lord. So we had R&R, which meant read and rewrite, M&M, memorize and meditate, PNC, pray and confess, and then this one, TNT, which was test and testimonies. The tests we experience now during our increasing freedom will be our testimonies of God's care and God's provision and God's faithfulness for the next generation. How are you recording those moments for the coming generations? Are you noticing them? Are you noticing where God has been caring for you all along? There's so many levels to that. There's so many layers that we don't even see sometimes of God's care. Or will you be the one who is wishing to go back to where God has delivered you from? Whether that be COVID season or some other place in your life where God has delivered you, will you be wishing to go back, or instead will you move forward and let the testimonies in your life become something for the next generation to cling to? Well, this week we have a prayer response once again, and it's this. God, what is one way you have been caring for me that I have not yet noticed? And I was thinking through my own life for an example of this, and I thought, hey, I could actually ask this question prior to preaching this message. So I did that yesterday, and I said, God, what is one way you have been caring for me that I've not yet noticed? And the thing that I felt impressed on my heart that he showed to me was that each and every day he brings me a spot of joy. He knows I love humor. He knows I love laughter. And I can't think of a day that's gone by, even on the hardest of days, where something humorous hasn't crossed my path that's made me smile or laugh. A moment of joy. It could be something a friend said. It could be a meme I saw on Facebook. It could be a comic. And it was just something to be so thankful for. My awareness now when those moments happen will increase because I hadn't noticed that as something of the Lord's care for me in my life. So I encourage you to ask that question this week. And just as we close, this is just a little example of my sense of humor and things that make me laugh. So Far Side is one of my favorites. You may be familiar with that. But these things just make me laugh, and I'm so thankful to the Lord because he knows that joy and laughter mean so much to me. So I encourage you, ask the Lord that question. God, where have you been caring for me that I may not even have picked up on yet? It's God's joy and his pleasure to care for you, church. Pay attention this coming week. Rejoice in it and keep noticing how he watches over you and how his mercies for you are new every morning. We not only need that in this season, but we need that into the future. We don't want to be whining and jumping the gun and trying to take matters in our own hands. Instead, we want to lean on the Lord and trust in his care for us. Well, with that, I'm going to invite you just to bow your heads and pray with me. And perhaps you're watching today and you don't yet have a relationship with the Lord. We say this every week and we just want to encourage you. That relationship is available to you. And it is as simple as confessing your sins, believing that he sent his son to die on the cross for those sins, to wash us clean, give us a fresh start, and he rose again from the dead to defeat death and to promise us an eternity in heaven with him. And as we engage in that relationship with him, as we invite him into our lives, he walks with us all of our days. We don't walk alone, and we have this wonderful access to his intensive care in our lives. So I encourage you to pray that way today, and I encourage you, if you do, to tell somebody, reach out to us on email or private message. We'd love to know about it, and we'd love to support you in that decision. Well, we're going to pray now just in response to what we heard today. Lord, we thank you for your care in our lives. God, I thank you that there are so many things that happen in our lives that we miss, even where you've been caring for us. I think of when we go out for a drive or when we go for a walk, we have no idea Lord, of the things that you've shielded us from and your protection that exists around us sometimes. Lord, we thank you for your constant care. God, I pray as we go into this week that we would become increasingly aware of that. And Lord, that we would become increasingly reliant on you. Lord, that we wouldn't store up for the next day, but instead each and every day we would remind ourselves that you are with us, that you are caring for us, and that you have the words of eternal life that we need to move forward each and every day. Lord, I pray once again that you would encourage our moms today. Lord, I pray that they would sense in a special way your care. And Lord, for any of our moms out there who maybe don't have someone surrounding them today, maybe their family's elsewhere, maybe their spouse does not live with them or things like that, Lord God, whatever the situation, if they're alone today, I pray that they would know your care in a very special way. Lord, that they would not feel alone, that they would not feel despondent or discouraged, but you would cause hope to rise in their hearts. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you are enough. Amen. Well, we're going to resume some worship and music. You'll see once again an invitation at the end of the service to join us on Zoom for a check-in later. But I'm going to turn it over to Davidson at this time, and he's going to lead us in one final song.